right. Was that not refreshing? Give Vicki a hand. Okay, it's always good to have the opportunity to be in the house of the Lord, even more so this week, because I'll tell you one thing, the last 2 weeks have been a little nip and tuck, and you know, with the weather and the COVID and everything else, has been a little bit crazy. But I want to first of all thank each and every one of you all for taking this time to be with us today. This is actually one of our I'll call it our older alternative bad weather plans for Sunday, because one of the things that used to always frustrate me was to call church off. I mean, we'd make that call at the last minute. And you call church off, and then the next day the sun is out. I mean, it is gorgeous. So by the time church time would roll around, all the roads would be clear, and you're sitting there going, man, we could have done this. So we actually started incorporating a 2 o'clock service if we knew that the weather was going to be okay. That would give the sun time enough to melt some things off. And, of course, it puts you right in the middle of the warmest part of the day. Plus, you can eat lunch, then come to church. You do it backwards and then have a chance to get home before the sun went down. So for each and every one of you that are here today, I want to thank you. I want to thank our viewing audience on Facebook, YouTube. Thank you for joining us today. Again, just look around, give somebody a good smile and a wave. You hadn't done it in a couple of weeks. If you're part of our online crowd, say hello to somebody that you see tuned in, as well as Dr. Cazito back there. I really appreciate all that Dr. Cazito does in interacting with our online audience. I love him. I don't think there's anybody that does it any better than him. I appreciate you, John. Thank you so much for that. So that gives, I've stalled a little bit to let you know what's going on, give folks time to join us on the social media platforms, because the little notifications went out. But we are going to take the time to worship the Lord together. If you didn't have a part to be a part of Kelly's Sunday school class this morning, then you really missed out. You're talking about worship in Sunday school. So today, as you've come in and you're here, you've set that time aside in the quietness of the house of the Lord, today I just pray that each and every one of us will take that opportunity to just take a breath. Don't worry about what's going on the rest of the day. The moments that we have to spend together and around the Lord's Word, allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you. Because I know that if we do that, He'll certainly teach us something today. Something that maybe we've never learned before. Something that we need to apply to our lives right here where we are. So at any rate, take that moment as we go to the Lord in prayer and as we prepare our hearts for worship. Let's pray together. Father, as we come to you now, we're grateful again indeed for the opportunity to come together. Lord, we know that there have been more challenges over the past month as well as the past couple of years. There have been more challenges to us being able to even just come together to worship you. So, Father, today I'm grateful for this opportunity to stand before your people today and to proclaim your word. Father, I pray that you will truly help us to clear our minds of anything that may hinder us from being able to hear the Holy Spirit today. Lord, as we worship, I just pray that we will truly hear from you in a fashion that will be something that will be life-changing to each and every one of us. So, Father, bless our time today as we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, you'll notice something as Brad takes his place. You know, we're working on some folks in the choir. If you sing, we're trying to kick that back off. And I think we've had about a one-month hiatus on trying to get it kicked off because of weather and everything else. But like I say, as the choir is part of leading us today, may we gather around some good old favorites this morning as we worship our Lord together.
Got to thinking we could just stay seated with our group today. We start with hymn number 54, Great Is Thy Faithfulness. Would like to thank the Fab Four here for getting us started. We had a nice rehearsal this past Wednesday night. We had 8 people, and it was great. Looking forward to having Mark and some others with us come back soon. But it was really great, and we look forward to anybody. I've been putting out a church email on that, so Wednesday evenings at 6:30. Weather permitting, so that's great. So great is thy faithfulness.
Great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father, there is no shadow of turning with Thee. Thou changest not, Thy compassions they fail not, as Thou hast been, Thou forever will be. Great is Thy faithfulness, great is Thy faithfulness, morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have need of Thy hand provided, great is Thy faithfulness, born unto Thee.
Oh, how He loves you and me, as Roy said, some good old ones from the past.
He gave His life, what more could He give?
Have you ever noticed that we're different people? Yes, no, maybe. Three of you. You've heard we act and react in different ways to different things, don't we? You see some people and, you know, those people will look at a circumstance or a situation and they will just lose their cotton picking mind. How many of y'all have ever worked with somebody like that? I mean, it's just like, it's just a critical mass no matter what happens. Then there's that other person that looks at it and says, well, it's not too bad. This will be all right. You work with that person too, haven't you? Isn't it interesting when those two people come together? I mean, it is just, it is interesting. Now, we're like I say, we're different people. Now, if you've got your Bible this morning, go ahead and turn with me, if you would, to the book of John, chapter 6. John's Gospel, chapter 6. We're going to look at the reaction, and I guess I'm going to go ahead and say it this way, the personality of three different people that are mentioned in this passage. Now, you're going to be familiar with the passage, but maybe you haven't taken a look at the personalities that are going along with those. We're going to look today at Philip's reaction, Andrew's reaction, and a little boy's reaction out of the book of John chapter 6. Most of us know or have heard of this particular passage referred to as the feeding of the 5,000. If you've got those titles in your Bible, that's what it says above that. But we're going to begin reading it. John chapter 6, beginning with verse 1. It says, after these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. Then a great multitude followed him because they saw his signs, which he performed on those who were diseased. And Jesus went up on the mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. Verse 4. Now the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was near. Then Jesus lifted up his eyes, and seeing a great multitude coming toward him, he said to Philip, where shall we buy bread that these may eat? But this he said to test him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 denarii worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may have a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, there is a lad here who has five barley loaves, two small fishes, but what are they among so many? Then Jesus said, make the people sit down. Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in number about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to the disciples, and the disciples to sit down, sitting down, and likewise the fish as much as they wanted. Verse 12, so when they were filled, he said to his disciples, gather up the fragments that remain so that nothing is lost. Therefore they gathered them up and filled 12 baskets with fragments of five barley loaves which were left over by those who had eaten. Then those men, when they had seen the sign that Jesus did, said, this is truly the prophet who has come into the world. Let's pray together. Father, as we come to you today, again, we ask that we would have our hearts and minds prepared to meet you in this place in such a way that we will hear your voice more loudly and clearly than we ever have before. Lord, you have a word for each and every one of us today, a personal word, a tailor-made word for our lives, where we are at this current time, because your word is a living word, and it is applicable to us. Today, Father, may we hear the words that you would have us to say, and as we read in your word very often, give us ears to hear what the Spirit has to say. Lord, I pray that you would bless this, your messenger, as these moments that we would lift you up, that you truly might draw all men unto you. As Father, we pray this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, I said a moment ago, we were looking at personalities, and we see a couple of different personalities shine forth in this passage. Now, we know that as we've read the Word, Jesus is the one who told everybody that would listen to what he had to say. He told them, he said, I am the bread of life. Now, I want you to think about that statement for just a moment. We all have to have food to survive, don't we? Now, most of us don't really understand what, and I'll use the term critical mass, really means when it comes down to that, because we've been blessed in such a fashion that there's food everywhere. I mean, there's food in this cabinet, there's food in that cabinet, there's food in pocketbooks. Somebody here today probably has a pack of nabs in their pocket. Now, there are going to be some people who are listening to this online that are going to say, what are nabs? Okay, that's where we come from, isn't it, Judy? Pack of toast chi or nip chi or toasties or whatever, little crackers in the foil. We keep something around all the time, just in case. Yeah, so we really, most of us don't really understand what it's like to be in a position to not have something to eat, because we live in the land of plenty and God has blessed us beyond anything that we could ever imagine. Now, again, this is somewhat relevant to this passage today, but yet it gets even a little bit more complicated as we go forward. But remember this, Jesus is teaching them, I am the bread of life. I am what will sustain you. It is trusting in me that will provide eternal life. He said the same thing about water. He said, I am the living water. Did he not say that? Yeah, he who drinks from me will never thirst ever again. Now, he was using the spiritual connotation in that regard. But yet, we see Jesus has met many, many physical needs, just as in the passages that we're reading today. So, you got to understand, Jesus has been doing ministry. He's gone to a new place. All of a sudden, it says that he and his disciples are there. He looks up, and there is this mass of people that are heading toward him. Anywhere Jesus goes, he ganders attention, doesn't he? Yeah, it's the same holds true today. Yeah, people, it says in this particular passage that people had been observing what Jesus had been doing in healing the sick, and they were curious. We're curious people, aren't we? So what happened was they decided, well, let's just go follow him. Let's listen to what he has to say. Now, I'm not talking about a handful of people. We know that the number given in this passage is 5,000 men. See, the women and children weren't even included in that number. That's a lot of people that are making their way over to see Jesus. So I want you to get this picture in your mind. I want you to put yourself in the position of the disciples that were there as well. I want you to think about Philip and Andrew for just a moment, because they're specifically pointed out in this passage. Yeah, they're there. I guess you'd look at it like this. Well, the revival service is over with. We're trying to relax a little bit, chill out a little bit. Here comes 5,000 people. So they're probably going, oh, okay, well, we got to get ready to do another service, because we know how Jesus is. He's not going to turn these people away. He's going to do something. So let's start to get ready. But before any of that even took place, Jesus asked Philip a question. Now, go back to the scripture for just a moment. Go to verse 2. It says, then a great multitude followed him because they saw his signs which he performed on those who were diseased. And Jesus, you know, went up to the mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. Now the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was near. Then Jesus lifted up his eyes and seeing a great multitude. See, here he sees them now. A great multitude, verse 5, coming toward him, he said to Philip, and here is what he said. He asked him a question. He said, where shall we buy bread that these may eat? Now hold on for just a minute. He's not in, you know, one of the metropolitan areas. Where does it say that they've gone? They've gone to a place where they're in the country. Now, I don't know about you guys. I know that where I grew up, after you got to a certain hour, the stores were closed. Yeah, Sunday had blue laws. How many of y'all remember them? Yeah, stuff was not open, okay? I'm not saying that that was what was taking place as far as the Sabbath or anything, but what I am saying is this. Jesus asked Philip this question. He sees 5,000 plus people coming down the road. He goes, where's the local store where we can get them something to eat? Now, if you're putting yourself in Philip's place for a minute, what would you have thought about that question? How would you have reacted in regard to that question? 5,000 that we know of. You've seen a group of 5,000 or more, haven't you? Yeah, and now all of a sudden you're like, okay, well, nobody was expecting this. You know, Philip and Andrew and the other disciples weren't expecting to have to do duty. But you know how it is. When somebody comes by your house, what do you do? If you're country, especially if you're country folk, what do you do? Hey, let me make you something to eat. Have you had something? Have you had a bite to eat yet? Now, let me ask you this question. That's all well and good when it's one, two, three people. What if 5,000 people showed up at your house? I mean, I'm trying to make this so you can get the picture for a moment. Jesus is a gracious and loving host. You know, say Jesus is just sitting at home, chilling, watching TV. You're hanging there, hanging out with him. And all of a sudden, 5,000 people walk up to the door. And Jesus looks at you and says, where can we get something for these folks to eat? What would you say? Let me tell you what you'd say. You would say, have you lost your cotton picking mind? Man, I struggle to feed my fam. I don't like to cook. I don't like to. And you're asking me to feed 5,000 people? Yeah. Now let's go back to the scripture for a minute. Go look at it again. Verse 5. This is what he said. He asked Philip this question. Latter part of verse 5. Where shall we buy bread that these may eat? Okay, so you're sitting there going, oh, okay, well, they were just going to go get takeout or something, you know. Okay, well, still, can you imagine going to the grocery store and saying, look, I need to feed 5,000 people. What you got? By the way, they didn't have Super Walmart and all that. 5,000 people would have cleaned out any store. 50 would clean out a store in Cuba. I mean, if you went in there to buy that much. So when we're thinking about this, this looks like a really impossible situation, doesn't it? This situation looks strenuous at the minimal. Where shall we buy bread? Now, I love what verse 6 says. It says, but this, this tells Jesus is asking this to Philip, but it's verse 6 says, this he said to test him that he himself, he knew what he was going to do. Jesus knew how he was going to handle the situation, but he wanted to see what Philip thought about it. Have you ever had that happen in your life, your spiritual life? Now let me make you one promise right here that you can take to the bank. Jesus already knows how he's going to handle your situation. He already knows that. A, he already knows what your situation is. B, he knows how he's going to handle it. But ironically enough, he still posed this question to Philip. He said, where's a place we can go get some food for these people? Now, I love Philip's reaction. It was probably a little different than what mine would have been. And the one thing that I'm really curious about is communication, nonverbal communication at this point. This is what Philip says. Verse 7, it says, Philip answered him, 200 denarii worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may have a little. Now, when you begin to kind of break that verse down a little bit, a denarii is one day's worth of wages for a laborer. Okay? So Philip's looking at this crowd, and he said, 200 days worth of pay for the average laborer would not so much as come close to even getting them just a snack, just a bite, just a taste. You know how we do that. You know, when your spouse or your child has something and it looks really good, you'll say, hey, can I have a taste of that? Can I try that? Can I have a little bite of that? Notice what he said, that they might have a little. He looks at Jesus and he goes, 200 days worth of a laborer's pay wouldn't even begin to touch this particular crowd. Now, he might have gone, I don't know. Yeah, he may have looked at Jesus like he was crazy and said, you want to try to feed this crowd? And then he's going to be logical. He is going to explain the issue to Jesus. Do you love that part of it? He's going to explain the issue to Jesus. Man, that won't even get them just a little bite. You see how many's out in this crowd? This is insane. Now remember, Jesus said this because he was going to test him. And he said, they can't have but just a little bit, even if we had that much. Now, that is Philip. Philip is the guy who is looking at the circumstance. Philip is the guy who is looking at the issue. Philip is the guy who is taking a logical mind and trying to apply it to what is going on right there. Now, I've said a minute ago, before we're too hard on Philip, what would we have said to Jesus? I mean, think about that for a moment. Let's just pretend that 5,000 people just walked up to church. And I said, great, look, we've got a fellowship team. There's, 5,000 and however many are here. Y'all go on over to the kitchen and whip something up. When I get done preaching, we're going to have a meal. Where are my fellowship people out here? What would you have said to me? Yeah, oh, Lord is a good start. Nancy did exactly what I think Philip probably did. She didn't give me an answer. She just went, how do we do that? What are we going to do? And see, obviously, our first tendency is to look at the situation, to look at the concern, to look at the problem. And that is exactly what Philip did. Now, you have to remember that Andrew was listening to this conversation as well. Andrew is standing in the periphery of what's going on. Now, verse 8, Andrew chimes in. And this is what he says, verse 8. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, "There is a lad here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes, but what are they among so many?" Now, in all honesty, the first part of what he said really looked good and really sounded spiritual, didn't it? So in the middle of this, you got Philip going, looking at Jesus going, what are we going to do? And Andrew goes, may I make a suggestion? I saw a little boy over there and he had 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Now, if you were Philip, what would you have said? You'd have probably gone, ooh, 5 loaves, 2 fishes. That was the kids' lunch. It's like, Andrew, I don't know if you've checked or wiped your eyes out. There's more than 5,000 people here, and you're sitting here saying the most insignificant little thing, 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Now, again, let's relate this to real life. I have just said to the fellowship team, how about y'all whipping up something? We've got 5,000 plus here today. How about knocking a little lunch out so we can have some fellowship time afterwards? Yeah, Nancy's already given me the look. Monica is like, oh, dear. Yeah, how are we going to do it? And I'd say, well, don't worry about it. There's some chicken in the refrigerator over there. I think it might be a plate of deviled eggs left over from, where we fed the family last week. Now, let's be honest for a minute. What would you say to me? You would probably think of some things that don't please Jesus about me. And you're going, are you literally going to walk over there and open the refrigerator and look at that box of chicken? You're going to go, because there's going to be people all over the place. And you're going to be going, somebody ain't going to eat. Because this isn't going to scratch the surface. Is that not what was said? Remember when I said, this little bit won't scratch the surface. Go back with me to verse 9 for a minute. This is what Andrew said. He said, there is a little lad here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fishes, but what are they among so many? That's nothing. I mean, that's not a meal. That ain't even a pack of nabs. You might get a little piece off of a nab. What can we do with this? Now, what I love about this was Andrew was a finder. Philip was sitting there going, But Andrew is looking for the solution. He's a finder. I honestly believe that Nancy probably would go over there and say, well, there's some chicken, and if we do this, maybe we can, break it down a little bit, and if Judy could whip up a little bit of this, and, it would be sitting there going, okay, well, if we all pitch in and do a little, maybe we can make this work. Maybe we can make, see, there are some that are skeptics, like Philip was, or actually, and I don't want to be hard on him, but that's generally what we do. We look at the circumstance of the situation, don't we? We don't look for what the solution is. Philip was not looking for the solution. Philip was sitting there saying, how are we going to do this? There's no way. There's not a grocery store around here that would have enough food. And even if we had 200 days worth of wages, we wouldn't be able to do it. He is looking at every reason why it cannot be done. And in the midst of his rant, Andrew goes, well, there's a little boy over here that brought lunch with him. 5 barley loaves and 2 fishes. But I kind of get it. That's not going to go real far among this crowd. Like I said, to start off with, that was really good. But did you notice what happened? Andrew was looking for a solution. He was looking for the solution to see it come about what Jesus said was going to come about. How are we going to do this? Are we looking for the solution? Are we too busy talking about, well, we ain't got nothing but 5 loaves and 2 fishes? See, you are one of those people. You are standing either in the shoes of Philip or you are standing in the shoes of Andrew when it comes down to your circumstances. Do you see the things that are taking place as opportunities? Now, I want to remind you of something critically important about this passage once again. Remember what it said. Jesus asked this question to Philip, already knowing what he was going to do. Isn't that kind of cool? Because we know how the story ends, right? See, he said, Jesus already knew what he was going to do. Didn't I say a minute ago, Jesus already knows what your dilemma is. He already knows what your circumstances are. And guess what else I can promise you? He already knows what he's going to do about it. And he says to you, let's feed 5,000 people. And listen, where are my organizational people? You organize stuff. You write things down. This drives you bananas, doesn't it? Guys like me drive you all crazy. Hey, let's feed 5,000 people. And y'all are going, oh, come on, man. We didn't even have time to go to Sam's. We didn't have time to get the church credit card and buy this and get this stuff together. Listen, but then there's going to be somebody among you that's going to say, well, you know, we are right beside Lowe's grocery store up there. Let's just go for it. Let's just see what happens. I believe that God is just wanting some of us to relinquish control and go for it, realizing he's already got the answer to the solution for what it is that's troubling you. He already has the impossible. Folks, for you and I, this would be an impossible task, wouldn't it? But for Christ, it's not. That's the really cool part. Now, he says to him in verse 9, there's a little boy over here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes, but what are they to so many? And then Jesus said this, verse 10, make the people sit down. Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in number about 5,000. Notice that, the men sat down in number about 5,000. This doesn't even include women and children in this number. It says, and Jesus took the loaves. Now, I want to pause right there at the first part of verse 11. It says, and Jesus took the loaves. The reason I want to pause right there for just a second is because now somebody, probably Andrew, went over to that little boy and said, hey, son, got a question to ask you. Would you mind if we took your lunch? Would you mind giving us what your mama painstakingly packed for you today for lunch? Now, if somebody came to us in this situation and said that, what would we say? Let me tell you what we would think. We would sit back and go, listen, you're not preparing doesn't constitute a crisis on my behalf. Did you get that? That's the nice way of saying, you didn't bring nothing and I did. You will be hungry and I won't. This little boy, I mean, think about it for a minute. This little boy was smart enough to bring lunch. Now, again, I might attribute mama, because you know how mamas are. Mama probably said, now here you go, son. Here's you a little something for a snack as you go. Nobody else was prepared. But this little boy was prepared. Oh, do you think that the Lord had a hand in that? Oh, you bet he did. So I can imagine what it must have been like. And by the way, again, this is a little lad, a little boy. And you also have to remember, too, that as you've heard back when we were preaching around the Christmas story, that even Joseph was a teenager, Mary was a teenager, and Joseph was looked at as a man, Mary was looked at as a woman. This is a little lad. This is a small child. Most kids don't like to share, do they? Okay. And by the way, he wasn't being asked to share. He was being asked to give up his lunch. Can I have that? Now think about the struggle. Now remember, we've talked a little bit about Andrew. We've talked a little bit about Philip. And now we want to talk about this little boy for just a minute. This little boy had to sacrifice something. Not only did he have to sacrifice something, at the time, he felt like he was sacrificing everything. Because you know what? The little boy didn't say, well, I'll tell you what, I'm going to take a half of a fish, and I'm going to take me a little half of a loaf, and I'll give you the rest. It doesn't say that. You know what he did? He gave it all to Jesus. And I'm just going to use that term. You know, Philip or Andrew may have been the one that picked it up and brought it over there, but he gave it to Jesus. He gave Jesus everything he had. You know what that meant? That could have meant in his mind at that moment, that could have meant that he was going to go hungry for the sake and for the cause of somebody else. We don't hear that this little boy was complaining. We don't hear this little boy saying, well, let me take a little part of this and half it out. No, no. You know what he did? He graciously gave it to the master. Folks, I believe with all of my heart that the little things are what Jesus wants to make into the big thing. Now, I'm going to skip ahead for just a moment, and then I'm going to circle back. I hate to use that term. But nonetheless, here's what happened. The little boy gave Jesus, thinking he was giving it all, but the little boy also got the results of what Jesus did, didn't he? Which was what? Not only did he get to eat, he got to eat till he was full, just like everybody else. I want you to think about the little things. I want you to think about Elijah. Remember when the drought was going on and Elijah was praying for it to rain again after 7 years? And it said he sent his servant. He prayed expecting, and his servant went out there and he said, what'd you see out there over the sea? And his servant said, nothing. And he prayed and he said, go look again. What do you see? Nothing. And he kept on. He was persistent in his prayer. He was persistent and consistent. And finally, his servant came back and he said, you know what? He said, there is this ever so tiny little cloud forming out there. What did Elijah do? Did he say, well, let's just keep watching it and see what's going to happen? No. You know what he did at that point? At that point, he said, here's what needs to happen. We get Ahab, get everything out of the valley. It's going to be, I mean, the rain, the bottom's going to drop out. You and I would have said, dude, what's the matter with you? It's just a little cloud. That's it. No, no. He looked at it as the provision of God because that was what he was praying for, and he was praying expectingly. Folks, are we praying expecting God to do great things? And then when we sit back, Satan's going to tell us, well, you don't have nothing. All you have is 5 loaves and a couple little fishes. How are you going to feed 5,000 people? Let me tell you how you're going to do it. You're going to give it to God, and God's going to do something incredible with it. That's how you're going to do it. You're not going to do it any other way. God is going to have to show up. Now let's go back. It says verse 11, and Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to the disciples. And the disciples to those sitting down, and likewise the fish, as much as they wanted. Now, you got to get the picture of this. Jesus is sitting there, and he thanks the Father for it, and I'm sure that he maybe had some sort of receptacles that he was putting this in. He maybe took the bread, and he broke it into pieces, and you know, you figure the disciples were there, so he's got like, let's just say he had 12 for the sake of it. And he puts some little bread in the baskets, and he's already had the people sit down, and he's like, okay, Philip, you take that section over there. Andrew, you take this section over here. You know, and people are sitting there, and they're going by with this bread basket, and people are reaching in there, and they're getting them a piece of bread. And the word says he did the exact same thing with the fish, and people are going by, and they're picking fish out. Now, if you were Andrew or Philip, I want you to consider something for a minute. You're going through this section, and people are taking fish and they're taking bread, and you got this gigantic, let's say you had a section that had 1,000 people in it, and you're going through there and they're picking stuff out there, and you're like, oh, okay, well, I'm gonna get through probably this first 10 and there's not gonna be anything left. And then you get through that first 10 and you go, and you keep on going, and you keep on going, and you keep on going, and you're like, fish, bread? And when somebody says, is it all right if I take two? I'm hungry. You go, absolutely. Now, the interesting part is it says that Jesus gave it to his disciples first, not to partake in, but that they might serve. And it says, then the disciples were served. I can only imagine what must have been going through their mind as they continued to serve stuff as it appeared that they didn't have to start with. Now, I like the latter part of verse 11 as well, because it says that as they went out there and they served the bread and served the fish, get to the last part, as much as they wanted. This was an all-you-could-eat buffet. I mean, think about it for a minute. I mean, you know how we do things. We're sitting back and we're like, we've got so much, we're going to have so many people. I tell you what, we'll serve first, and then if there's anything left over, people can come back. They ate as much as they wanted. Now, I don't know about you. I like fish. I guarantee you it was probably some of the best fish that there was ever put out before anybody. I love fish. Give me some bread with that bad boy. I'll make me a fish sandwich. I'm gonna be enjoying it. And then you know what? I probably ate me one of them little ones and thought, well, that's good. And I'd be like, Andrew, listen, you got anything left over? And Andrew goes, yeah. Well, can I have another one? Sure. Get that big piece right there on the top. Matter of fact, just take a whole loaf of bread this time. Make you a big old fish sandwich. Call it like old Burger King used to, the Whaler. And it says every one of them ate until they were satisfied. All you can eat buffet. Now what'd we start with? Five loaves and two fishes. And now we have successfully performed an all-you-can-eat buffet for over 5,000 people. It is conservatively considered that there were probably 15,000 there by the time you counted women and children. That would be each man had a spouse and each had one child, and we know that one child is not as, I mean, they probably had more than that. So conservatively, about 15,000. Now I like this. This is something else that Jesus drove a point even further home. Verse 12 said, so when they were filled, when everybody had eaten as much as they wanted, when everybody was full, when they were all filled, verse 12, he said to his disciples, gather up the fragments that remain so that nothing is lost. What? So wait a minute. We started off with five loaves, two fishes. We have fed roughly 15,000 people from this little boy's lunch, and all they wanted to eat, and you're saying there's leftovers? She said, yeah, you need to go pick that up. You know, we don't want it to go to waste. Do you get what's going on here, folks? Not only does the Lord fulfill the need, he goes further than you and I ever thought. First of all, they never thought there'd be enough to feed anybody. Second of all, they never thought that not only would they be fed, but they would be fed until they were full. And thirdly, there's leftovers. There's leftovers. In fact, there was another passage in another gospel. How many? Do anybody remember how much was left over? 12 baskets. Y'all sounded like the Peanuts teacher there for a minute. 12 baskets were left over. They didn't even start with 12 baskets. See, that's the kind of Lord that we serve. Gather up the fragments, because we don't want any of it to go to waste. Verse 13 says, here's what they did. Therefore, they gathered them up and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the five barley loaves which were left over by those who had eaten. Is that not a miracle? You see, the Lord wants us to be able to participate in the miracles. He wants us to give him what we have. The little boy said, you know what? I might be hungry, but I'm going to go ahead and give this to you because, you know what? That's what the Lord's led me to do. And because of a little boy's faithful obedience to the Lord, because the disciples who needed some lessons, and because of people who were hungry, the Lord showed up in a huge, huge way. Folks, I want to remind us again, you've heard me saying this for the last specifically 2 years, but even before that, there is not a single thing that takes Jesus by surprise. Nothing. No circumstance, no situation. In the same way he knew what he was going to do there, he knows what he's going to do with your circumstance and your situation. Philip was out figuring on the least. He was looking at the situation. You know, that everybody might even get a bite. We can't even do that. And then there was Andrew. Let's find a way to make it happen. Do you understand that this is a really good team concept? By the way, God made, still makes Phillips, and God still makes Andrews, doesn't he? Aren't those two guys you need to have on your team together? If you have a whole team of Phillips, you're going nowhere. If you have a whole team of Andrews, then you're never going to really learn anything. You're just going to be broke all the time. You're going to give it all away. So there's a balance between those. You need a Philip and you need an Andrew on the teams that go forward. I don't know what God has, which one God has called you to be. I know that, through my time here, there have been some things that I've asked you all to do that you said, this is the craziest thing in the world that I have ever seen. And God showed up, didn't he? You know why? Because I've stood here and said, Lord, this is the craziest thing I think I'm ever going to tell people. But that's what you've asked me to do. You see, he's called us to be Phillips and Andrews, but he's also called us more so to be the little boy, to give him what we have. And let me make this promise, what you have will be enough. The Lord says, we need to feed 5,000 people. Have you got a lunchbox with you? You'd be like, well, yeah, Mom packed that this morning. You want it? Hand it to him and watch what he'll do with it. Oh, and by the way, you'll get to partake of it as well. I guarantee you that little boy had just as much as anyone else did. I guarantee you he left full. He probably took a nap afterwards. Everybody was probably laying around there taking a nap. It was all so full. That's the God we serve. But what's our perspective? How are we going to view our circumstances? Are we going to view them through the lens of Philip? Or are we going to view them through the lens of Andrew? Or will we view them through the lens of the little boy? It takes all of us working together. You can probably sit there in your life right now. You know what you are. You know whether you're a Philip or whether you're an Andrew or whether you're a little boy. And you also know people in your life that are completely opposite of what you are. They bring balance, don't they? They do. You see, I'm the guy, I'm that guy I'm kind of like an Andrew. Let's do this. And then people go, well, how are we going to do it? And I'm like, I don't know. The Lord said do it. He'll make a way. And here's the really cool part. He's done that every single time without fail. When you follow his way. Now, that don't mean you can go off crazy on your own. He's not going to bless your own little thing, your own little crazy thing. But if he's asked you to do something, he already knows what he wants to do. Maybe he is working in your life in the same manner he was in Philip's life. Because remember, it said this, he said, testing him. Are you passing the test? Yeah. Maybe, hopefully and prayerfully, there's an Andrew listening in on the conversation that says, well, hey, there's a little kid's got lunch over here. Little is much when God's in it. Will you surrender it to him? See, some are always fretting over the problem while some are busy looking toward finding the possibilities in the circumstance and in the situation. I like it. Somebody said, and I'm probably not going to say it right, but somebody said before, I don't ever have problems. I just have opportunities. Because every situation is an opportunity. Just depends on how you look at it. Yeah. Think about it. Some of us can remember days when we were more of a finder, like Andrew was, as opposed to being a skeptic, like Philip was. Have you changed to that point? See, Andrew didn't rule out any possibilities. It's a little lunch. He go, God, what can you do with it? God says, watch this. Let me show you what I can do with it. Here, have some bread. Here, listen, I've seen him do that in my own life. I sat back today and I sat back and go, Lord, I could never have planned this. I said, I never could have done it, but yet you have shown up in so many ways. And I just giggle. I'm like, yeah. Sometimes I don't even realize it until it's done and over with, and I go, wow, look how you showed up, God. If I had to go back and plan this from 20 years ago, I certainly wouldn't be here. You know, I certainly wouldn't be in the position that I'm in right now. And I'm talking about just, you know, whatever in your life may be. You're like, hey, boy, God did this. I'd have never done that. He's the one that lined all this up. That's just the God we serve. Are we going to give it to him? Can we be like the little boy who gave all that he had? He didn't hold any back. He gave everything. You know, I call it an unrecorded part of this miracle that we don't know about the little boy. You know, was there a struggle over the call to give his lunch up? You know how little boys are. They're garbage disposals, man. They eat all the time. What, did the boy have any struggles, you know, about doing that? Was there a struggle that called for concern of other people? What about the struggle that called for faith? Because that little boy was hungry too. It's like everybody else. Somebody might have said, I cannot believe that Andrew is taking that lunch away from that little boy. He should have been better prepared. There's always those in the crowd, aren't there? There'll always be those skeptics taking lunch from a little boy. Shame, shame, shame. And yet, regardless of what the struggles were, everybody ate till they were full and there was leftovers. Because that's the God we serve. The lunch was given to Jesus. Could you imagine that wide-eyed little boy? Yeah, I'll give Jesus my lunch. That's pretty cool. The disciples distributing the food, the miracle that took place, the satisfied people, and the joy on that little boy's face. Could you imagine that? How'd you like my mama's fish? Mama packed that lunch. Jesus just multiplied it. I think Jesus used the same recipe as my mama. He just divided it on out. Tastes just like what mama makes at home. That was my lunch. Now, you got to be careful. I mean, I don't think it was an unhealthy pride, but can you imagine being the person that sacrificed a little? See, I've seen that. I've seen what this church has done for our brothers and sisters over in Cuba. The sacrifices that you've made and the things that seem so little that have become so great because you put it in God's hands and God did incredible things with them. Where are you today? See, you can't lose when you give it all to Jesus. He's called us to surrender to him. Have we done that? Have you taken that time and in your life? Have you been to that point where you've said, Lord, I realize I'm a sinner. I need a Savior. I'm asking you to come into my life. I'm asking you to save my soul. Have you done that? Listen, if not, I'm just simply going to ask you as the Holy Spirit beckons your heart, if you would, just bow your head and say, Lord, today I know I'm a sinner. Come into my life. Save my soul. Help me to live for you. Listen, if you did that, then I can make you this promise. I can make you the promise that he did exactly that. He's recorded you in the Lamb's Book of Life. He wants you to walk like one of his children. He wants to grow you. If you did that, please let us know. Dr. Cazito's back there for our online audience. Just say, hey, look, man, I accepted Jesus today because we want to celebrate with you. Don't be ashamed to do that. Yeah, we'd love to get you some material, some information to help you with some follow-up. But listen, have you trusted him? If you did, don't hide that under a bushel. We want to celebrate with you. Maybe you're here today and you have become more of a Philip than an Andrew. We've all found ourselves there, haven't we? Well, you know, I'll tell you one thing. I've seen what God can do, but blah, blah, blah. I'm going to have to deal with this, and it's more work. And have you become that skeptic and that cynic? Maybe the Lord's just calling you back to him today. Maybe you just need to bow your head and say, Lord, I hear you today. Forgive me. I'm coming home. Help me again to be more like Andrew and the little boy than Philip in this situation. Help me not to focus on the circumstances of the situations, but to focus on the God of the circumstances and the situations. And Lord, I pray this in Jesus' name. Listen, if you've done that, he's welcoming you back with open arms today. What will you do with what he has called you to do? I've said before that I'm still a fan of the gospel invitation. I want you to do business with the Father right where you are. If you're part of our online audience, whatever you're doing, you stop and allow that moment to be what it should be, what God wants it to be in your life. Yeah, I want you to think about that circumstance. If you were there that day, who would you have been? If you were with Jesus, would you have been Philip or would you have been Andrew? If you were there in the crowd, would you have been the little boy that gave up the lunch? Think about it for a moment. Oh, by the way, you can't fool the Lord. He already knows what your heart is. Maybe you just need to pray, Lord, I want to be more like Andrew. Help me. He will. Lord, I want to be more like that little boy. Starting today, I surrender all to you. Listen, he'll hear your prayer and he'll honor it. I'm just simply going to ask, I know you've been sitting for a while, if you would just stand where you are Brad leads us in our time of invitation. As you are in an attitude of prayer with the Savior, you do business with him. If you need me, I am here. But I encourage you, don't leave this way. Don't leave this place the same way you came in. Leave changed and leave different as we go into our time of invitation. Heads are bowed, your eyes are closed, you continue to do business with God. I'm going to ask our ushers if they would make their way down as we receive the Lord's tithe and offering, but please continue to do business with our Lord. You can be seated. I just want to thank each and every one of you over the last couple of weeks. You have been so faithful to the tithe. Although we haven't been here in the last 2 weeks, a lot of folks have mailed theirs in or dropped it by. We appreciate that because even though we had a couple of snow days, the banks and the power companies have not. So we appreciate your faithfulness to the tithe and the offering. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Father, you're good to us. We thank you again for provision. Lord, each and everything that we have comes from you. You have provided and made a way. Lord, I pray that you will help us to be good stewards of what is yours. And as we come to this time, that we give back that little bit, that little piece that you've asked us to faithfully return to you, may we be found faithful in doing so that your kingdom may be enhanced. And Lord, we do pray this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Amen. Thank you, Jim. To God be the glory. Things he has done. Amen. All right, let me give you just a couple quick things and then we'll get you out of here. As far as the schedule for the rest of the day, we will not be having any evening activities. Like I say, it gets cooler at night. We still have some drainage issues around here. We want people to be as safe as possible. We've been putting our January business meeting off for the last couple weeks. So what we've decided to do on that is we're just going to combine the January church conference with the February church conference when the February church conference rolls around, which will be the third Sunday in February. So we'll do January and February during February. We won't have anything else here this evening. And is there anything I'm forgetting? I know there's probably something that I'm forgetting. Well, I'm getting ready to hit that part of it. If you send cards, texts, messages, or whatever, birthdays for this week. Today, Dave Smith, Ken Allred, and Ashton Wagner celebrate birthdays today, as well as Jeanette Bowman has a birthday today, and I have a birthday. I've made another trip around the sun. So just to let you know, we take cash, gift cards, I'm just kidding, folks, but we love you. So a lot of birthdays that are active. Those were today. Also, this coming Friday, Megan Price will have a birthday. And then this Saturday, our own administrative assistant, Debbie Sullivan, will be celebrating her birthday. So if you're a card sender, a text sender, whatever it is, you know what? It makes somebody smile just to know that somebody's thought about them, just to say, hey, look, I just want to wish you a happy birthday. So anyway, we enjoy that. We appreciate it. Let me do this. Let me go ahead and close us in a word of prayer. I want to remind us to be careful. There's two things I want to remind you of. It is icy over here between this building because the sun never shines over there. So, you know, as you go, please use the door. This will probably be taken care of in the next day or so, but the sun never shines over there. I do want to remind you to pick up your statements of giving. I do have the front door over there unlocked. If you want us to help you over there, if you're here, ease out that way. There are still the cards, Christmas cards that were left over are sitting in a box in front of the window where Debbie sits. Please go through that because we can't mail those. And what's going to happen is they're going to wind up in the trash and there's a bunch of them over there. So we can't afford to send all those out. So please pick them up. Otherwise, we're going to have to get rid of them. And somebody thought enough of you to send you a card, please stop in there and pick your Christmas cards up as well as your 2021 statements of giving to the church. The statements of giving are in the little Lottie Moon post office right as you go in where Debbie's office is, and the cards are right there as well. So we're going to be heading over that way in just a moment, but the front door is unlocked. We want to make sure that you have an opportunity to pick those up. We will have to mail those statements of giving come this week. So please, please, please pick those up because that saves us the postage of having to send that stuff out, okay? All right, let's just have a quick word of prayer and then we will be looking forward. I'll see you all online this coming Wednesday and then back again in the Lord's house next week. Prayerfully, we won't have any snow or ice. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. I love snow, but I'm ready for it. I don't like it when it causes us to cancel being able to be together. All right, let's all stand. We'll be dismissed in a word of prayer. Father, as we again come to you, we're prayerfully grateful for this opportunity that you've given us today. Lord, I know that you've spoken to our hearts. Help us to deal according with what you have shared to each and every one of us on a personal and an individual basis and level. Lord, give us a great rest of the day. Keep us safe as we come and go. And Lord, we look forward once again to having the opportunity to meet up in the house of the Lord, to gather around your word, and to serve you together. Bless us and watch over us, Lord, is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you, folks.